Welcome to Open Studio, where we put a spotlight on the arts, artists, and issues in the cultural community. I'm Tom Musgrave. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Dr. Brittany Green to the program. She is closing out her year as the Lexington Philharmonic Orchestra's composer in residence. We're recording this interview the week of the Lexington Philharmonic season finale, which features one of Green's pieces, the world premiere of Black Dandelions, an American triptych. So let's welcome Dr. Brittany Green.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here. And as I mentioned off air, I'm always very excited to talk to composers. There's a witchcraft and a wizardry to what you do that I do not possess the talent for, and I realize it's something that you work very hard to do. But I imagine there's a natural talent there, and I do want to talk about that a little later. But I want to kick off by asking what your experience has been this year as the Lexington Philharmonic's composer in residence.
Yeah, it's been such a wonderful experience getting to know both Lexington, the town, and the Lexington Philharmonic over the course of the year, and getting a chance to work with them in sort of a variety of facets. So the first sort of engagement we did together was in September, where I composed the installation for their Sound Park performance at Josephine Sculpture Park. So that was really fun, getting to know the folks around town and getting to know the orchestra, but also getting to know the audience as well. And then I came back in February and the orchestra played a pre-existing piece of mine, Testify. So I got to work with them on that piece, but then also workshop this piece that we will be premiering this weekend. So getting a chance to work with the ensemble, which is actually fairly rare to this degree with an orchestra. So being able to really workshop and work out the kinks of the piece ahead of the week of the premiere has been really nice. And it's great to be back this week.
Well, wonderful. Welcome to Lexington again. have you learned anything about yourself as an artist in this year as composer in residence?
Yeah, I think I've learned a lot about myself as an artist. I feel like in some ways I've discovered more of my voice as an artist working on this piece. I've kind of learned more about the orchestra and how I imagine using that color palette of sounds through the workshops we've done together. And I've also learned just a little bit more about sort of how I imagine sort of the best of what orchestra can be in terms of what kinds of conversations we can have through the music and how we can engage a specific community and specific experiences through that music. So that's been really fun too, just figuring out, you know, how to say something, not just something interesting musically, but something specific to Lexington through this piece.
Well, then you mentioned the color palette of sound, and I do want to get back to now the sort of the magic associated with composition. Obviously, I know you studied it for years and so have become very good at it. When did you realize that this was something that you wanted to do musically, be a composer?
Yeah, so it's funny, kind of looking back, I feel like I always was a composer. I remember I started sort of formally studying music when I was 11 or 12 years old in the sixth grade, and I joined band and started playing clarinet. And I remember that first year of learning how to play an instrument, one of the first things I did was write a piece of music. And so it's kind of funny looking back. It's like always was going to be the case. But when I got in high school, I really started to get really interested in composition and music theory. And then I sort of ended up doing some other things in music, just mostly like music ed. But I kept finding myself kind of coming back to composition. And so about 10 years ago, I decided to really make the switch and focus on composition and being a composer.
That's a lot to accomplish in 10 years. I mean, to go from like sort of starting out and now you're a composer in residence for a symphony orchestra. So do you look back on can you believe it kind of when you look back on it, or is it
It's sort of surreal when I look back at it, sort of how much has happened in the last 10 years and all positive things. But yeah, it's a little overwhelming almost when I stop and think about it. It's really been quite the journey.
Now, when I read music, if I'm singing or playing, I see it there and I hear it because somebody else put it there, a composer put it there. I'm always interested when talking to composers, when you're looking at the blank page and you're probably at a piano or something to sort of sort out the parts. Do you hear the instruments, the percussion, the strings, the woodwinds? Do you hear those sounds as you're writing? Do you imagine, okay, yeah, I need this color here or this timbre here? How does that work for you?
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot like, just hearing music in your head. And some of the best composition sessions are those moments where it feels more like you are transcribing a piece that's in your head that you know. Mm. And the piece being, you know, the new piece. And then there are other times where it's maybe like a little less inspired and you kind of rely more on sort of the craft and the skill, and you kind of are taking the approach of just generating material and then kind of going back like and figuring out, you know, is there a nugget of something interesting here? And then you'll go back and reflect and find something interesting. Mm-hmm. And then that inspires sort of a whole new path that you can go down and compose something with. So yeah, it's a lot of sort of hearing the music in your head. And then in some ways, it feels like a collaboration with, like a imaginary colleague or something.
And to me that is the magic, being able to hear, because I can see a piece that's been written and I can listen to a recording of it. But if you're writing it originally, there's no recording that you're working off of. And that to me is the thing that I think separates composers from other musicians, the fact that we don't have anything to sing or play if it's not for you. So out of this residency, is there a favorite work that you have done that's come out of this, something that you kind of you like a little bit better than some of the other things that you've maybe worked on?
Sure. Yeah. So far I've only composed two pieces, and it's really interesting. They're wildly different. So the first piece was an electronic piece that we set up as an installation at the Josephine Sculpture Park, and that had voice recordings from audience members from previous concerts from the Phil, and it was just recordings of people talking about what they love about Lexington, specific places that they love that bring them joy and comfort and familiarity. And the piece was sort of about, it was called Where We Belong, and it was about this sort of sense of community that I've felt in Lexington specifically, in Kentucky more broadly speaking. And so that was really fun and interesting because I got to spend a lot of time in editing the audio, listening to people's voices who live here. And it was interesting when we premiered the piece, someone would come up to speak to me and I'm like, I have not met you, but I know you from your voice because you spend hours listening to these voices. So that was interesting. But the piece that we're premiering this weekend, I'm really, really excited about having the opportunity to write such a big work. It's four movements. It features narration, and the narration is text from three different poets and then some text from myself. And one of the poets is a former Kentucky laureate based in Lexington, Crystal Wilkinson. So it's really great to engage her text, and specifically her text about Kentucky. Yeah. and really explore Kentucky through that piece and the movement that has her text sort of references sounds from Kentucky with sort of some quotations of my old Kentucky home and some sections that kind of pull from Appalachian music and fiddle music. And so that's been really exciting to sort of dig into the sound of Kentucky a little bit in a way that I haven't been able to previously. So that's, I would say if I had to pick, I'm excited about Black Dandelions because that experience has been super fun writing that piece.
Well, you just answered the next question. No. I'm glad. Have you had a chance to meet Crystal?
Yes. Wonderful. So, great. So funnily enough, I met Crystal before I was working with Lexington Philharmonic. I met Crystal about 3 years ago. I went to a sort of artist residency. And I was there for music, but Crystal was one of the sort of mentor artists there working with some writers. And so that's when I first encountered her work. And at the time, her, I believe, most recent book, The Cookbook, had came out. And I was just enamored by her work and had been thinking about it nonstop ever since. I was like, man, I would love to set some of her work to music. And then when I got connected with Lexington Philharmonic, and I remembered she, you know, was the Kentucky Poet Laureate and based here. It was like the perfect opportunity. And when I brought the idea to Lexington Philharmonic, they were like, absolutely, yes, we would love for you to set some poetry by Crystal. So that just worked out really perfectly.
That's one, and it's such a wonderful marriage of creativity there because she is a prolific writer. Especially about the Kentucky experience, and so I'm glad that her work is figuring into the narrated by another Kentucky poet laureate, Silas House, I believe. Have you had a chance to meet Silas?
I haven't. So Silas House is narrating a different piece.
Okay.
I believe he's doing narration for the Lincoln.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm excited to meet Silas House as well, and it's exciting to the idea of the concert, the American Stories. It's nice to have a concert of American music by American composers, myself, Joan Tower, Bernstein, Aaron Copland. Particularly thinking about Copland and Bernstein, who are artists who I think really captured the essence of what it means to be an American composer and American sound during, you know, their time, but also these sort of connections to Kentucky and Lexington specifically through my piece, through having Silas House, I think is really interesting because it's not just American stories, it's American stories and Kentucky stories and Lexington stories. And I think that that's really fantastic.
Well, while we're talking about American composers, I want to ask you about, it seems to me, and I don't know because I'm very far away from being a school-aged person, but growing up, it seemed you read about composers and it was, you know, dead white Europeans, basically. What does it mean to you to be an America, a living American composer in this time, to sort of be kind of an ambassador for, yes, we are alive, and yes, we are creating work. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, that means everything. And it's something I think about a lot. You know, what do I specifically want to say as a Black woman, as an American woman? And then particularly, especially for Black Dandelions, a Black American woman in the South in particular, which I think is an experience that's often overlooked, you know, talking about what it means to be from the South. There's, I think, a lot of misconceptions that people have. And so that was something that I think about generally speaking, but also something I specifically wanted to explore in this piece. And so that's why, you know, of course, the piece features text from Crystal Wilkinson, but also two other Black women poets from the South, Jackie Shelton Green from North Carolina, and then Ebony Stewart from Texas. And so I really wanted to capture that experience, which is a bit of a nuanced experience. And that's something to me I think is really important, and just the expansiveness of what it means to be an American, especially in the 21st century, and all of the nuance and complicatedness that sometimes comes up for folks with that. And so I think it's really nice to be in a space where I think classical music is expanding and really bringing those conversations to the concert hall, and also a wider variety of composers and living composers who are telling a wide array of stories about what it just means to be in the 21st century. So
I think it's important to remind people that there are living composers out who can talk about their work, especially to ensembles. You can't get, well, you could read Mozart's thoughts on something, but you can't talk to him about.
Exactly.
Do you ever get the chance to talk to young people about your music and about being a composer?
Yeah. So I do teach. So in some aspects, I get to do that sort of daily. But one of the great things that has come out of this residency is I've had the chance to talk to some students here. So in February, I visited Tate's High School, and I was able to talk to some students. And then this week, I'll be working with some students at UK. And so it'll be nice to talk to some college level students too. So that's always really nice, getting the chance to talk to students. Before the concert on Saturday, we will have a pre-concert talk. So I'll get to talk to the audience a little bit about this piece. And I got to do that in February as well, to talk about Testify and the residency in general. And so it's really nice to be able to have those conversations and remind people, like you said, that composers are living, and even the ones that are dead were once living, breathing mm-hmm. composers. And music is something that lives and breathes and is not just like an artifact to be preserved.
Have you ever been the first composer that anybody has ever met in their life? Have you ever had that conversation with somebody?
I think maybe a couple of times, yes.
What did that mean to you, or what was that like? Was it a chance to educate?
Yeah, I would say it was sort of a bittersweet moment. It was sweet in the sense that it's nice to be sort of able to open that door of curiosity for someone. Bitter in the sense that, you know, in 2026, 2025, I would hope I'm not the first, you know, living composer that you meet. So it just is a reminder that there's more work we have to do. But yeah, it's certainly a moment to educate. And it's always really interesting to hear how people respond to the music, because usually when someone comes up to me like after a concert and says, you know, you're the first living composer I've met, or the first living composer whose music I've heard, it then is followed up by, you know, them explaining what they liked about the piece and the concert. And so, and an opportunity to get to kind of talk about what it means to create music in real time with ensembles. So it always ends up kind of opening the door for a really beautiful conversation, which is really nice. And then I hope, you know, encourages folks to continue to invest in the arts and participate in the arts and come to concerts. So in that sense, it's always like a really nice and pleasant conversation. But I hope that, you know, soon we get to the point where it's so commonplace, no one, you know, comes up to me and says that.
Yeah, you hope that it should, as you said, be more common, and we can have those conversations about the music as opposed to, wow, you're a living composer.
Yeah.
We were talking about literary artists a moment ago, Crystal Wilkins and Silas House, and I've heard them sometimes describe, not just them, but other writers, describe what they do as a solitary art form. Does the experience of composition ever feel that way to you?
It's interesting because the first half of it does feel that way sometimes. Like, there, you know, when you're in the composition process of it, it feels like, you know, like a sense of trying to find silence within oneself to then create, to then make something new. And then the other half of it is very collaborative. So, you know, I like to think of the part of our job where we're, you know, at home or in our office writing the music at the piano. That's only like 50% of the job. And then the other 50% is bringing the piece to life with live performers. And so that process is very collaborative. And for pieces like Black Dandelions, where you're working with text, it's also very collaborative in a way. It feels like, you know, when I was working on the piece, it felt like I was in the room with Crystal or in the room with Jackie or Ebony, kind of trying to get into the text and the meat of the text and get into their mind when they were writing the text and sort of, you know, being in conversation with them in that way, because the piece involves their text and is so heavily influenced by the words that they wrote. So in that way, it sort of felt like someone else was in the room with me. So it was a little less solitary and kind of a negotiation of dealing with the text and trying to honor the words that the poets wrote. So in that case, it felt a little less solitary, but sometimes that first half does feel like a sort of silencing of the outside and kind of finding a way inside oneself.
Yeah. I sometimes forget that, and you just sort of reminded me of it, that yes, I mean, if that first half is solitary, that's probably the way a lot of composers through the ages have worked, but we have the advantage now in the 21st century. If you have a question for Crystal, you can email her or get on Zoom or something, and that's got to be as important a compositional tool as a piano sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the same is true in terms of instrumentalists. As we were preparing for the premiere of this piece a few weeks ago, I had, you know, like a hour or so long Zoom call with the concertmaster, and we were kind of fiddling, or she was fiddling through music, and we were, you know, having dialogue back and forth. And that also is very much a part of the composition process. And so there is like this very heavily collaborative effort. And then with all of the technology advancements of today, it just makes all of that even more accessible.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Brittany Green, who is wrapping up her tenure as the Lexington Philharmonic Composer in Residence this year. You can learn more about Brittany and her work at her website, brittanyjgreen.com. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks again for having me.
Listen to Open Studio every Friday during WUKY's Morning Edition and in the afternoon during All Things Considered. Or listen to extended segments at the Open Studio podcast, available at WUKY.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Do you have an idea for an Open Studio segment? We're always on the lookout for news and events in Central Kentucky's arts and cultural community. Email us at openstudiowuky@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page, keywords Open Studio on WUKY. Your idea may make it on the air. I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Open Studio on WUKY.